is Mrs. King, and a poster of her husband in the background. She's explaining nonviolence to a bunch of school kids.
Wow.
And this was the 1970 sanitation workers' strike.
How did all this come about?
Well, 70s Atlanta was a very particular era in Atlanta where everything changed. In 1969, Atlanta was not the city it was in 1979. It changed from a big southern town into a major American city. And then, of course, it took on its international casting after we started moving it to the end of the 80s and got the Olympics.
There is one we have of Dr. Benjamin Mays that is an amazing photo. Dr. Benjamin Elijah Mays, president of Morehouse College.
This was in Dr. Mays' office and his home. He'd already retired from Morehouse. Dr. Mays, as you mentioned, was a longtime president of Morehouse College. But more importantly, he was the mentor to Dr. Martin Luther King. And every Tuesday, he would have an address to the Morehouse men. And Dr. Mays would later complain that many of his speeches wound up with the speeches of Dr. King. But the teenage Martin Luther King, who was admitted to Morehouse when he was only 15 years old because he had advanced so rapidly through high school, just struck this amazing relationship with this incredibly erudite educator. And it was Dr. Mays who gave the eulogy at Dr. King's funeral.
This photo is quite candid. Dr. Mays appears quite relaxed at his desk. A close-up, he's on the phone.
I was there interviewing him about the Martin Luther King Center for Nonviolent Social Change, and Dr. Mays was on the board. And during the interview, he got a phone call, and it was apparently somebody he really would like to talk to, and that's why he has that glorious smile on his face.
This is a photograph of Wayne Williams at his trial.
No. This is when he was 16 years old.
Wait a minute, really?
This was years before. Homer Williams was his father. I knew Homer Williams as a fellow photographer. Homer Williams was a photographer for the Atlanta Daily World. And one day at a press conference, he said, "Why don't you do a story on my son?" And I said, "Well, what's your son done?" He says, "He started a radio station in my basement. He wants to be like Berry Gordy. He wants to be the next Motown entrepreneur." The 16-year-old kid starts a radio station in his basement. That's news.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went and I interviewed Wayne Williams, and I took a picture of his studio.
Williams was sentenced and convicted of the infamous Atlanta child murders. So as soon as you heard Williams' name mentioned in connection with the Atlanta child murders, did you recognize the name immediately?
I did, but I had no idea where the photographs were. The trial was long since over, and he was long in Reidsville.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? What does it mean to you here in July of 2012 to be back in Atlanta and talking about and exhibiting these photos?
I think that what I was present for was a remarkable time in this city's history, a time and a place where something special was happening. And I think what that something special was for Atlanta was a very real sense of the legacy of Martin King, who had died 15 months before I arrived in the city on one sweltering July day in 1969. And that influence was white and black. So whites voting for blacks, blacks voting for whites, I think this was all part of what might be considered a dream wind.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I mean, a MARTA train goes through a station. It's an express train. It goes through. It vanishes down the tunnel, but the wind continues. And so when Martin Luther King passed through Atlanta, I think that wind continued for a full decade. And people just felt a genuine sharing of that legacy. And it all ended with the first of the missing and murdered children's cases in 1979. We were on our way to becoming that beloved community that Dr. King talked about. And anybody who was in Atlanta and aware and cognizant of the politics and the social realities will tell you that something like that very, very, very nearly happened.